When I chose my sermon title on Thursday, I had no idea that my humble alma mater, Yale University, would go on to win the NCAA hockey championship on Saturday night. So I ask you all to be extremely thankful that there are no projectors in the sanctuary here, otherwise you might have gotten 10 minutes of hockey highlights. As we read today's scripture reading from the book of Acts, I would ask you to think back over the last 2 weeks of church. I would ask you to think first of the reaction of the disciples to the resurrection of Jesus finding the empty tomb. I would then ask you to think about the reaction of Thomas, that disciple who demanded to know something more about the nature of this resurrection. Because I think we have in the text over these 3 weeks a story about the fact of the resurrection, the nature of the resurrection, and the meaning of the resurrection today. So please join with me if you wish. We are reading Acts 9, 1 through 20. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come and lay his hands on him, so that he may regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "He is the Son of God." Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. I think we have all encountered the situation where we have worked hard, toiled for a long time in obscurity, working outside of the public eye to achieve some goal, to build up an organization, to save someone or something, to accomplish and complete a project, only to be told at the last minute, "Thank you for your work. Someone else is now chosen to carry you across the finish line." And if you are like me, you may have reacted to this news intemperately, resentfully, angrily, saying, this person was not with us when there was no glory to be found. This person was not with us working the long nights and hours. This person was not part of our group as we built this thing. Who are they to come in now? And in all of our situations, we do not have to deal with a person who was quite literally hunting us down to imprison us and or kill us. And so it is easy, I think, to understand Ananias here when God comes to him. Ananias, who says to himself, this Paul, this Saul, has been not with us as we were hiding in the upper room in Jerusalem. He was not with us as we risked our lives in Samaria. He was not with us hiding during the crucifixion, hoping it wasn't going to be us next. He was not even with us when Jesus came to see us after his death. Who is he to lead us forward? Particularly because he was not with us because he was hunting us. When our brother Stephen was stoned, Saul sat by, approvingly watching the stoning. So we understand Ananias' moment here of responding to Jesus by saying, really? Saul? Are you sure? Are you sure you mean Saul, the one who is in Straight Street, the one here now, the one who has come here to put us in prison? You want me to go to him? I understand that feeling. And if you look at this moment in history, you understand it even more, because if Ananias could look forward to the future, could he imagine that the church he would find today is the church of Paul? This is the most important story in the book of Acts. Why? Because it is Paul's letters that are the formation of our Bible. It is Paul's theology and understanding of the resurrection that we bring to today. So Ananias is being asked now not only to accept someone from outside the group, not only to accept a persecutor of the group, but to accept them and then have him be the leader of the church for the rest of history. And so Ananias has his moment of doubt. He has his moment of question, but Ananias is smart. Ananias understands something that we who might approach this question would not understand in our own lives when we see it, because Ananias is someone who has already recognized Jesus after the resurrection. Ananias, we are told, is a man of faith. And Ananias gets something that I think most of the other disciples would not. And that thing is this. It is our nature. It is our desire to look and say, we have worked hard. We have tried to accomplish something, and we are part of a movement that we recognize, especially when we are toiling in obscurity. And it is natural for us all to say, well, if you're going to pick someone else to lead this, that's not what I signed up for. I'm going to go and do my own thing. But Ananias realizes that his story does not begin and end with Ananias. His story does not begin and end with Peter. His story does not begin and end with James or any of the others that were with them. Ananias' story begins and ends with Jesus Christ. And Ananias realizes that this is what winning looks like. When the people who persecute you, when the people who are against you, when the people who would hunt you down and use the power of the state to stop you, when those people are called by God and you are called to go and welcome them, that is what winning looks like. Because on the day of the resurrection, the disciples did not know what they were seeing. The women at the tomb did not understand the meaning of the empty tomb. When Jesus came to visit them in the upper room, They did not understand what the nature of the resurrection was. And we know this because Thomas says, until I stick my fingers in the holes in his arms, I will not know that you are Jesus. But even when they know that the resurrection has occurred and what the resurrection looks like, they still don't know what the resurrection means. And what Ananias is being asked to do here is to understand. Because what Jesus is saying to him is, your fear of death, your fear of persecution would keep you from going to this man, Saul, who sits waiting for you. Your fear that he will put an end to your story on earth, your fear that he will put an end to this church, keeps you from him. It is your fear of these earthly punishments that you are avoiding. Ananias, if your story begins and ends in you, if you are working for your own glory, if you are working for just the brotherhood of people that you were with, this would be a fear for you. But Ananias, you are a minister of Jesus Christ who has conquered death. For you, the earthly realm holds no more fears. So go to this person, Saul. Welcome him into the brotherhood of Jesus Christ. Welcome him into the family of Christ. Let him be to you a friend. He is who I have chosen, because he who was a minister of fear will become a minister of hope and love. Winning is understanding that you have no risk when you go to Paul. Winning is understanding that this message is for him as much as it is for you, as much as it is for the other poor and outcast people that you encounter. Winning is bringing the gospel of love and letting the people who would do things differently than you enjoy it too. It is amazing to me. I have friends who have been working on same-sex marriage for 10 years. And they are now at a moment they could never have imagined before, where a majority of the United States Senate has now come out and said, we are in favor of this thing. And I've been amazed, because instead of saying about all of these people in the last 2 weeks, after sitting in the Senate for 20 years, have come out and said, we support this thing. All of my friends toiling for years when they thought that no one would ever agree with them have not said, well, where were you when we were working on this 10 years ago? Where were you 5 years ago? Where were you when we were fighting? No, to a person, these people who have risked humiliation, some of whom have gone to jail, have said, welcome, friend. Welcome. And that's why the story reminds me. The famous story that Jim Wallace of Sojourners likes to tell of Desmond Tutu. Desmond Tutu was preaching at an illegal church service toward the end of apartheid. The church service had been warned not to have it because the state thought there was risk of a riot. And so Archbishop Desmond Tutu was preaching and saw the soldiers standing outside the church. And he said to them, friends, can't you see you have already lost? Why don't you come in and join the winning side? And so at this moment, if you hold fear, if you hold resentment, if you have seen people joining you in the last leg of your journey and don't know what to feel about it, I say to you, listen to the words that Jesus said to Ananias, and Ananias gave to Paul. Friends, come in and join the winning side.